Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. At a time when many Americans are split politically, you may not find an issue they agree on, like paid family leave. Several national polls over the last 3 years show that those polls support paid family leave in some form by more than 80%. President Trump voiced his support in his State of the Union address earlier this year. 5 states already have programs that allow a new mother or a worker caring for an ill family member to take time off and get paid for it. There is a proposal in Pennsylvania that would do just that. Joining us on today's program, Republican State Senator Dan Laughlin of Erie County. Senator Laughlin, good to see you again.
Scott, it's great to be here, and it's nice to be back with a friendly host. So we hope it goes well today.
Also joining us, Democratic Senator Maria Collette of Bucks County. Senator Collette, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scott. I'm really happy to be here, too.
And Karen Showalter of MomsRising.org, who is the Senior Campaign Director, Healthy Kids, at Pennsylvania State Moms Force. Karen Showalter, good to see you.
Thank you so much for having us, Scott.
If you'd like to join in our conversation about paid family leave, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can also leave a question or a comment on WITF's Facebook page. On Twitter, we are at SmartTalkWITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Karen Showalter, let me start with you. Why is there a need for paid family leave?
Sure, thank you. So paid family and medical leave is important because being there for family is what matters. And that's the essence of this kind of bill. We know that right now the majority of workers do not have access to paid leave. It's something around 14% of working people, and it's 6% of low-wage workers. So we're looking at workers who need to do things like choose between staying with a sick relative or caring for themselves and going to work for fear that they're going to lose a paycheck and ultimately perhaps miss a car payment, not be able to put food on the table. So we can do a lot better. We need to make sure that we have an economy and a system that supports working families and helps people both care for themselves and be good, productive employees.
Those statistics that you quoted, the 14% and 6%, those are national statistics, not here in Pennsylvania. Do you know what the statistics are here in Pennsylvania?
I don't have that at my fingertips, Scott.
But is it probably consistent with those national numbers?
I think we would all agree that it's probably pretty close to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is family leave now, but it is not just paid family leave. As I said in an introduction, there are 5 states that have paid family leave. There are a handful of other states that have variations on it. Obviously, there's a big difference between being paid when you're off for an illness in a family or having a baby or something like that. But how much of a difference? I mean, I almost get the sense that this is kind of an incremental thing, that even getting family leave was step one, and now paid family leave. Karen?
Yeah, so right now, 60% of working people have access to FMLA. I think a lot of people assume that that's paid. It's not. It's job protection, which is great, and a first step. It provides up to 12 weeks of job protection. So what we see is a lot of folks are really surprised when it comes time to take leave for something like an injury or a chronic illness, and they realize they don't have paid leave. Now, if you're listening and you're like, well, I used FMLA and I was paid, you're lucky. You had an employer who paid you when you needed your leave. The reality is people shouldn't have to win the boss lottery to be able to get paid when they need time off. I mean, we know that the majority of workers do not or cannot handle an emergency expense of $400. We know that the majority of Pennsylvanians don't have money in the bank for more than about 2 weeks to sustain themselves and their families. So we're looking at the reality that A, everybody's going to need paid leave at one point or another, and B, most of us can't afford to take it if it's not paid. We know all of the great benefits of paid leave, you know, being able to be with a care, to take care of a loved one, to be with a new child, to be with a parent who's experiencing some chronic illness or needs a surgery, has massive benefits for their health and recovery and also for you as a worker. I think that's a really fun thing that we're seeing is that working people feel more productive and they feel more appreciated when they have paid leave. So even though some people may have unpaid leave, that's a first step, but it's not enough. I mean, most people can't even take leave if it's not paid because they, again, are making choices between a car payment and being with a loved one who may need them.
There is such a thing as a boss lottery?
Apparently, there is now.
Okay. All right. Well, you've just announced it here today. And I think that percentage across the country is similar to what you said earlier, about 15% of employers that do have paid family leave. Senator Collette, what prompted you to propose this legislation?
So I actually had the experience of having two constituents come in to see me, a young couple, and they were hourly workers. They were people that were really great contributors to our community. And unfortunately, when their daughter was born, she was born with a congenital heart defect. And progressively, over the short 7 months of her life, they were spending more and more time in the hospital. Actually, what I should say is one of them was spending more and more time in the hospital. The other was working, paying the bills, making sure that they were still able to, you know, keep a roof over their head and do all of the things that, you know, would have been alleviated if there had been some kind of program like this. So they came to see me, and initially they said, you know, we want to make sure that other families in our position have a better opportunity, that they have a better option than, you know, one parent being at the hospital and getting to spend those precious moments with their sick child, and the other parent really missing out on that opportunity to spend those moments because he was so worried about making sure that he was getting to his job. And both of them, really, to be honest, had an incredible amount of family support, but they also had really sympathetic bosses that let them work around their schedules. They had, you know, sort of won that boss lottery that Karen was talking about, and they were able to adjust their schedules and do what they needed to do to care for their daughter. But so many people aren't able to do that. And, you know, we know research shows that most Americans can't sustain their families for more than 2 weeks without a paycheck. That's just, you know, the way it's going to be if we don't come together, make sure that we are doing something to help when somebody has an issue like this. They have a sick child. They have an aging parent that needs help. They themselves suffer an illness or a catastrophic injury. We want to make sure that people are able to focus on the work when they're at work and not worry about, you know, I've got to leave at 2 o'clock, but I don't have enough time off this afternoon. Will I be able to get my dad to that appointment? All of those things that take us away from being the good employees we want to be.
Senator Laughlin, why'd you sign on to this? I mean, it's I think the public is really, I don't know, happy to hear when there's bipartisan support for something. But why did you, and I know there are several other Republicans who have signed on?
Well, this dates back decades. My own family, my sister, when she was an infant, had a congenital heart defect as well. She had a hole between the chambers of her heart, and it was very difficult and very expensive back then. The treatments that she was getting were considered experimental at the time. I saw the struggles that my parents went through. And then fast forward to when I had children. My middle son, when he was an infant, had, I think it was called RSV. It was a respiratory virus, and it almost killed him. And I, you know, I was a self-employed businessman with a partner, so I was had the flexibility to take time off. And at the time, I didn't really appreciate that like I do now, because, you know, I just did it. I didn't have to ask anybody. But there's so many people that are have similar stories that can't spend the time with their sick child, holding its hand and taking care of it and making sure it's getting the best care possible. And this is just one of those bills that I think once people really start to wrap their head around it, they will become supportive of it. And I think the way for the average American that's listening today, this is going to be similar to the unemployment compensation system. And, you know, I've had a couple people give me a little bit of flack on Facebook over this. And then when I say, well, would you do away with unemployment compensation, they're mum's the word then, because that's a system that they've grown accustomed to and are comfortable with.
And once we talk about the nuts and bolts of this, I think that is a good comparison. But I also can see that there would be some people who look and say, oh, you're talking about a higher tax here, or you know, an additional tax. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But I'm curious, and any of the three of you can weigh in on this, but something that Senator Collette described a few minutes ago, oh, I have to leave at 2 o'clock today because Dad has an appointment. What's different today? I mean, that's what we've been doing forever. What's different today that there's need for paid family leave now?
So I think one of the issues that we're seeing now that's different from generations ago is that both of the parents in the household or both members of the family are working outside the home now. And so that creates a strain on time, resources, availability. And I think that, you know, that impacts tremendously on whether or not we're able to provide care to our aging family members the way that we want to our children, to ourselves. In addition to that, I just want to point out that Pennsylvania has the fifth largest elderly population in the nation. And we are, you know, as that aging population grows, the need for care for our elderly relatives is just going to increase. My 84-year-old dad lives with me. I am one of those people that Karen talked about. My father needed heart surgery in May. He needed heart surgery. And the doctor said, when's a good time? And I was like, I guess May. Let me look at my calendar. But that's the difference now, that had this program been in effect, my husband might have been able to take off of work to pinch hit and make sure my dad was getting the care that he needed. And those are the kinds of things that we need to be mindful of as we talk about this, that this is really something to celebrate because we are giving people the opportunity to better care for their loved ones.
Sure.
Yeah, Scott, you know, part of the issue is there's been a generational change from when I was a child. The single family parent represents, I believe, about 45% of the households in America now. Mm-hmm. So if you have one person earning a wage and taking care of a couple of children and something happens and they can't go to work, they need you know, basically government help at that point, because if they lose their job because they have to take care of a sick child like I did when my son was little, a lot of them never come back to the workforce. So this is a net positive for the taxpayers, because I know people out there listening, there, some of them are like, ah, this is another tax and this is bad. This is a net positive for the state of Pennsylvania, both in its tax rolls and its employment rolls and just in human decency. So we need to keep that in mind as well.
One of the things I just wanted to say, you know, with regard to what Senator Laughlin is talking about, one of the things that we're also hearing is about companies, small businesses, that have to compete with larger businesses that are able to already offer paid family leave. And they're still competing for the same talented workforce. And it puts them on a more even playing field. It gives them the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, when we talked earlier about the companies, the employers that are offering paid family leave now, you can't say this universally, but you see the Googles of the world, the Amazons of the world, the huge employers that have hundreds, thousands of employees are the ones that do offer it. And you think about today's workforce. I mean, the unemployment numbers, when you look at them, today's employers are competing for employees, competing for workers. Now, it's not always going to be that way. We hope it stays that way for a lot longer. But this would seem to be, if an employer offered this, you know, we give them a benefit with attracting quality employees, too. But it does level the playing field somewhat. We'll talk more about this in just a moment. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. And coming up on Smart Talk over the next few days, some of the topics that we're addressing, some of the issues that are facing Central Pennsylvania. A few years ago, United Way of the Capital Region did an assessment of the big issues, the big challenges facing Central Pennsylvanians. And once they address those issues, now there are some solutions. We're going to be talking about some of the things that have been done over the last few years. Also coming up, Pennsylvania's Auditor General Eugene DePasquale recently completed an audit of the Pennsylvania Game Commission, and we'll be talking about that as well. If you like to find out what's coming up in Smart Talks in the future, go to our website, WITF.org/smarttalk. If you aren't available during the time periods that we're on the air, you can leave a voicemail or voice memo question for one of our upcoming programs. More information at WITF.org/smarttalk. Our guest today, Democratic Senator Marie Maria Collette of Bucks County, Republican Senator Dan Laughlin of Erie County, Karen Showalter of MomsRising.org, who is the Senior Campaign Director, Healthy Kids at Pennsylvania State Moms Force. We're talking about paid family leave legislation that these two senators are co-sponsors on, and there are others as well. If you have a question or comment, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave a question or a comment on WITF's Facebook page, on Twitter. We are at SmartTalkWITF. Again, the phone number, 1-800-729-7532. All right, Senator Collette, let's start with how this actually works. It's called the Family Leave Act. Mm-hmm. How exactly would it work?
So employees would pay into a fund that would be administered by the Department of Labor and Industry. They're going to be the ones that would distribute the funds. And when they have a qualifying event, and of course there are parameters, they would provide medical documentation, they would make a claim for the leave based on whatever their circumstances were, and then once approved, the Department of Labor and Industry would administer the pay for that. And it's really the amount that you get is sort of based on how much you earn, but it's also based on the statewide average weekly wage. So, you know, that no one is really, you know, if you make $100 million a year, you're not going to be getting compensated 80% of that during your leave time. There is a cap on it. There is a reasonable amount of money that we're going to be making sure that people
just like unemployment.
Getting. That's right. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Senator Laughlin, you made that analogy earlier about it being like unemployment. But let's face it, there are employers that don't care for unemployment compensation. Well, I shouldn't say don't care. They're used to it. But yeah. Sometimes it's not popular, put it out there. So why isn't this a tax?
Well, you know, I guess it's how you label it. This is something that the employee has to pay into. I understand that. So I totally understand why some people would feel that it's a tax. But you're basically buying an insurance policy. So the employee is getting something for it. So it's not just a tax that the state takes and spends however they want. This actually is going to go into a fund for employees. And let's say we get the argument, well, what if I never use it? Well, then God bless you, because you were one of the lucky ones.
That was my next question. Karen, I don't know whether you can answer this or not, but someone here this morning said all of us will eventually use this. Do we have any idea, like in those five states that already have it, what percentage of people, how often people do actually use this?
We do. We can get you those numbers. But we have seen in the states, and it's actually good news for you, Scott, it's eight states, because Connecticut's just come on board,
okay,
that have programs either in place.
I don't know if it's good news for me, but...
well, good news for all of us,
right,
I think.
Okay.
And just to pause on that for a moment, I think they offer us a lot of great evidence about what works. And we're so pleased for all the work the senators have done to craft this bill, because it is based on what we have seen working in other places. So a lot of the testing has already happened, and we're really standing on the shoulders of those states here in Pennsylvania. We know that people use it. FMLA, for example, we know that the majority of people who take it for a medical reason other than a new child. So, and just to acknowledge, a lot of people think paid leave is paternity leave, you know, for a mother or father.
It's almost always described, maybe not as paternity leave, but the example always given is a new mother having a child.
Exactly, right. And that is certainly a need. This bill would provide for that, or for the adoption of a new child. But it also provides for a sick parent or family member. So we know that people are using it. We know they're using it for medical reasons. That just further justifies the need for this.
Mm-hmm. Senator Collette, the language used, and I don't know whether this is actually in the bill or not, but at least in your press releases, said a small amount taken from paycheck each week. Mm-hmm. What is a small amount?
So it amounts to about 5 cents on the dollar. So it really is a small amount for the incredible benefit that an employee and even employers will receive if an employee uses it. You know, one of the things to talk about is that in these states, states that have paid family leave, we know that when a new parent goes out on leave after giving birth, they have a greater likelihood within the first year of that child's birth of not using public assistance dollars. So again, when Senator Laughlin was talking about the overall benefit to this, this really is a way to make sure that we are creating an opportunity for people to continue to work, but also to continue to earn while they are caring for themselves or a loved one, and keep them from using those public assistance dollars that often they need to when a medical emergency crops up.
5 cents on the dollar is 5%.
Yeah, actually, I'm looking at my notes here. I misspoke. It's 0.5 cents on the dollar. Okay. I know. I'm sorry. I misspoke.
Yeah,
she scared me, too.
Thank you. I'm glad you were listening. Yes. That makes me feel good. You're listening.
I was sitting here trying to not confident in my math.
Scott, for somebody earning about $35,000 a year, it would be about $4 a week. So we're looking at a cup of coffee and a donut. Contribution.
A couple of emails here from listeners. Catherine in Carlisle says, I believe that having support systems for people in place, such as paid family leave, is so important. In the U.S., we hear so much talk about the value and importance of family, but unless we have laws that support families, it's just that, talk. We need to put actions and dollars behind the talk. I'm always baffled by how third world we really are in these respects in comparison to other developed countries. Mm-hmm. Is this something that has happened in other countries?
The United States is one of only two industrialized nations to not offer any guaranteed paid family and medical leave.
The other is?
Papua New Guinea.
They are. I kind of rolled my eyes. I was like, they're
they are not. Also,
they are industrialized world.
Yeah. Well, the International Labor Organization pulled 185 countries,
okay.
And these are the two. So, again, you know, the United States, and I just want to shout out how important businesses and small businesses. The majority of businesses in Pennsylvania are small businesses. Family is important. Our economy is important, and these are bills that look at both hand in hand. So, the United States, we have a great economy. Pennsylvania has a great economy, and this is something that will really just further it and strengthen it. All of the evidence shows that.
Senator Laughlin?
Yeah, Scott, and thank you, Karen, because that really segues in to what I had to say about the small businesses in the state. You know, this is a small business-friendly bill, and the reason that I say that is because it is difficult for these folks to find skilled workers, and this helps retain them in a tight job market. You know, most of the complaints that I hear from small business right now is they can't find a skilled worker. So for them to have one fully trained and up and running that they like, and then to lose it because they have to go take care of maybe an aging parent for, you know, a few months, this is for the small business as well. So,
you know, and I hear some crossover with some other issues, as often happens. Mm-hmm. Child care, one of the things you talked about earlier, Senator right. Laughlin, the single parent that has a child that gets sick. Also hear about we don't have enough skilled workers in the state, and actually it's across the country.
Right.
But this crosses over into some other issues as well. May not solve everything that you're looking for. Let's take a question now or a comment from Norman in Lancaster. Norman, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my question. Want to know, under the proposed act, is an employer required to return you to the job that you left when you took leave, or must they hold some job open for you at the employment site? I'll take answer offline.
All right. Thank you, Norma, for your call.
So those details haven't yet been worked out in terms of the specific type of job or that, you know, whether or not you would be held in that position. We know under FMLA that you're, protected so that you will have a job when you return to your employment. But here, what we're really trying to do is make sure that people are able to take the leave that they need, but go back to the workforce in the capacity that they were in prior to leaving. I'm not sure that we, in terms of, writing this, are ready to mandate, whether or not they're going to go back to the same job that they were in. But I think we're really looking at making sure, this is really to make sure that businesses know that, hey, there's an opportunity here for me to get that skilled employee back into the fold here.
Yeah, but that would seem to be a pretty important factor in a lot of people's decisions and what they want to do, too.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, look, here's the thing about it. What we're trying to do is make sure that when an emergency comes up, or even the birth or adoption of a child, you know, that people have some kind of ability to take the leave they need and return. You know, when we talk about small businesses, typically what happens with those small businesses is they do have a couple of those skilled employees that are in that position. This would really allow them to make sure that that person is ready to return and go right back into that work without having to train someone new, without having to go through the process of hiring someone new. So what we're really trying to make sure is that when an employee has an issue like this and they have to go out on a leave, that they're going to come back. You know, this is just something that's going to help our economy. It's going to help our employees, and it's going to help our employers. So we're really looking to make sure that people have that opportunity.
So when I saw the description in the press release that this is a basic safety net, that would probably come under the heading of basic safety net?
I would agree, Scott. And, you know, I think what's important here, if we can get this off the ground and passed, if we need to tweak something in another year or two that pops its head up as, you know, this is an issue, what I would hate to see is for employers to be punitive in this and say, okay, yeah, we have paid leave, but if you use it, you're going to come back and be at the bottom of the poll again. That is not my or Senator Collette's goal in this. And if we need to address that, we certainly will.
A couple basic questions. Who would be eligible?
So, you know, any working Pennsylvanian.
So everyone.
Yeah, service members. Another thing is that we have self-employed Pennsylvanians that can opt into the program. So any working Pennsylvanian.
Can someone opt out? That's a question we got from a listener.
No. So when you're employed in the Commonwealth, you will pay into this insurance fund. And right now, with regard to self-employed Pennsylvanians, that's really only, it's an opt-in program. So they would have to choose to participate.
What about those employers that already offer paid family leave? Would this supersede that?
So the good news actually is that when you have if you already have paid family leave and you have a more generous leave policy that your employer offers, or if there's a collective bargaining that covered an employee, then you're entitled to those benefits as a supplement to the paid family and medical leave act benefits.
Mm-hmm. Senator Laughlin, President Trump mentioned in his State of the Union address, I mentioned this in the introduction, that he supported family leave. Would federal legislation supersede the state bill?
I would imagine if it got passed on a federal level, Scott, that it would supersede it. But, you know, that's not done yet, so we don't feel like waiting around for that to happen.
And I don't know, Karen, maybe you can tell me, is there anything happening on a federal level? I mean, the president mentioned that, but is there legislation actually in Congress?
There is. The Family Act has been reintroduced in Congress and offers up to 12 weeks of paid leave. It would serve as a floor so that Pennsylvania could usually, again, to be worked out, but often what would happen is that a state could go above and beyond if they chose to. But there's exciting momentum at the federal level as well. And something that we've really seen in this room and we see in Pennsylvania, which we're seeing at the national level, is real bipartisan support for paid family and medical leave. Every major presidential candidate in the last election was talking about paid leave, and we're seeing that happening again with the upcoming presidential cycle. So it's exciting to see everybody enthusiastic about it. Some of the details about who it covers and what it would look like are the things we're going to work out, but I think everybody is ready to have those hard conversations and emerge with something that really works for working people and working families.
Well, as I said, the polls, seen at least three polls over the last 3 years, that the bottom that I saw, the smallest number, was 82% of Americans who were polled support this legislation. So the question, if it's so popular, why isn't happening up until now? Senator Laughlin, you smile, so I'll go to you.
Yeah, I'll take that. Listen, I think anytime you try and run anything through the legislature, regardless of what it is, you'll get pushback. There's, you know, I hate to say it, but there's people that, you know, are just basically against almost everything. So
you want to name those people on there, right?
I'm not going to name names. I still have
you.
To work there.
On a different day.
but quite frankly, you know, our legislature worries about the minute details on stuff sometimes, and it can be very frustrating for all of us in the legislature. Some things that we would view as just straight common sense, like, I can't believe this isn't done yet. And then it's a battle. And, you know, something as simple as Sunday hunting.
That was the last show that Senator Loeffler was on. I was wondering if you were going to get that in. But 80%,
yeah.
There are very few issues where you'll get 80% support.
Right.
I have to admit that when I saw the first, then this was a 2016 poll from Pew, which is a reputable pollster. It's like, okay, are there other polls? And they all showed at least 82% thinking, okay, the people who vote in Washington, the people who vote in Harrisburg have to be aware that there's this kind of support out there. Surprised it hasn't happened, Senator.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the truth of it is this is the challenge, right? To make sure that the people that Senator Loeffler and I work with understand that, hey, there is broad support for this. It's something that people are ready for. It's something that people want. And, you know, I think, you know, it's true. There is a lot of gridlock. But there also are a lot of good people who want to do good things for the people of the Commonwealth. And if we can make sure that they understand, hey, this is one of those good things, it really is a small price to pay if we're going to be able to give our workers here in Pennsylvania the support that they need. It just is going to attract better businesses to our Commonwealth. It's going to attract better employees to our Commonwealth. And it's going to make us really a healthier state.
But there is Janice. Okay, before we go to Janice, go ahead, Carol.
Sorry, I'll just quickly add, it's important to note that the Pennsylvania Department of Labor actually did a study in 2016, I believe it was, looking at what would work in Pennsylvania. So as much wonderful thinking has gone into this bill, we need to recognize it's really based on good research and data showing what works. So it's absolutely an issue whose time has come.
You know, I keep going back to that analogy with unemployment. There's a waiting period for unemployment. Would there be a waiting period for this, that if someone said, hey, my father's sick, I need to take time off, would there be a waiting period before they could start seeing any kind of compensation?
So unless you have like a specific emergency, you would have to let your employer know that you're intending to take the leave. But no, there wouldn't be a waiting period. If someone is deemed eligible and they provide the supporting documentation, then they would start to receive payments immediately.
Let me go to Janice's email. If the plan saves the state money and saves the employer money, why is the burden on the employee? A cup of coffee and a donut may not be much in your view, but many of us rarely buy what we can make at home for so much less. We make our budgets work by already cutting what you have in mind. I sometimes think you need all the underpaid people to run the budgets for government. Okay, opinion there. But the point that she's making is that, you know, there are low-income people who see, okay, a donut and a cup of coffee as something additional, as a luxury almost. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but yeah. You get her point.
Absolutely. Janice, I thank you for that. I think that's a really important point to make. So the reality with a program like this is it only works if everybody contributes. The other reality is that most of us at one point or another will need it. And if you're talking, the average weekly income, I think, is around $1,000 a week. If you're looking at getting access to that level benefit, the benefits of it far outweigh the cost. I know that that is still doesn't mean people have the money for that dollar and donut. You know, I think this is a good chance to mention that paid family and medical leave is a wonderful step forward for working families. We also need to be looking at issues like raising the minimum wage, which right now is the lowest it can possibly be in Pennsylvania. Childcare is as expensive as college in many places. Women still earn less than men for the same work. You know, there's a whole bunch of things we need to be doing to ensure that nobody is feeling the stretch in the ways that our working families are feeling them now. So I appreciate that it would still be a contribution. I think we know that this kind of system only works if everybody is paying into it. And we know that it has massive benefits, as the senator said, whether it comes to accessing public services. We know it has great benefits for the health outcomes of new babies and of seniors. We know that employees are more productive and happier. So there's a lot of really good things that come out of it as a result of that contribution.
And Karen, you just mentioned three other shows that I have to
okay,
do.
Okay, good.
No, we'll I have done and will do again. Go ahead, Senator Loeffler.
Janice, thanks for calling in with that concern. And I can speak to that, I think, pretty accurately. I grew up poor, so I understand what it's like to not have the money for a cup of coffee at the end of the week. But interestingly enough, this legislation is designed to protect those very people that are in that financial situation, because although, you know, contributing has been dubbed as the price of a coffee and a donut might be a little bit of a pinch for people in that situation, they are also the very ones that will lose their home if they can't have, you know, 5 or 6 weeks of paid leave while they're dealing with an issue. So that's kind of a trade-off. I get that, and I understand the pushback from people. But it's interesting. Those literally are the very people that we are most concerned about, that they would lose their home and job.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we're going to be talking about some of the issues that the United Way of the Capital Region assessed a few years ago and some of the solutions to those problems. That's coming up on tomorrow's program. Today, we're talking about proposed legislation in both the Senate and the House here in Pennsylvania having to do with paid family and medical leave. Our guest today, Karen Showalter of MomsRising.org. She's a senior campaign director of Children or Health Healthy Kids, I should say, at Pennsylvania State Moms Force, Democratic Senator Maria Collette of Bucks County, and Republican Senator Dan Laughlin of Erie County. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalkwitf. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Let's go to the phone. Dave is in Lancaster. Dave, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for such a good topic.
Thank you.
I work for a company. We have a company-sponsored short-term disability program. My question is, with that, we also have the opportunity to pay into it to get a longer or more benefit. This seems to me like to be a bit of a government overreach, a bit of the welfare socialist state, and while certainly some of these programs are great, shouldn't this be up to the individual whether they want to purchase this added benefit insurance, like I can with my company, or not? This seems to be the same argument with a mandated health insurance plan that we looked at several years ago with the ACA. And it seems to me that this is an overreach. Employees are already protected for illnesses, their jobs are held. But as far as payment for lost time, shouldn't that not be up to the employee to choose whether or not they want to get that?
Dave, thank you very much. Dave, thank you for your call. Who wants to take that one?
So, Dave, you know, I really appreciate that comment. And I will tell you, as someone who has used short-term disability, I opted into that program when I was planning my family because I knew that there wasn't any paid family leave. There was no maternity leave for me to use. That short-term disability, I paid into it. And in order to use it, once I gave birth, I had to go through all of the paid time off that I had earned. So all of that I had to use up before my short-term disability kicked in. It only paid me about 60% of what I made as a nurse at the time. And it also only covered a short period of time. So there were months after giving birth that I wasn't earning any money. And so I have to tell you that I was really fortunate that my husband at the time earned enough that we were able to pay our bills and I was able to stay home with my son. But there are so many families that aren't in that position. In addition to that, once I went back to my job, I started to have to build up my paid time off. off again and again. When my son was sick, I needed that paid time off to be able to take him to the doctor's office. So this is really an opportunity to make sure that workers aren't feeling that pinch, that they aren't in that position, and that employers aren't seeing people not come back to work because they're not able to, you know, figure out a way to manage the health crisis they have at home and still, you know, be a productive member of the workforce.
Senator Laughlin, though, you know, addressing Dave's other concern, though, about government overreach, I have to admit that when some of the language used earlier reminded me of the Affordable Care Act, when you said that everyone would pay in. When you're a Republican, you don't want big government, I assume. So when he says government overreach, what do you think?
Well, you know, it's a valid concern. It's a valid point, and I have constituents that have voiced that very same thing to me. And what I would say is, you know, as far as even dating back to the Affordable Care Act, what people need to understand is every single person in this country that doesn't have health insurance that had an emergency goes to the hospital, and we all, as a community, wind up paying for it. So, you know, it's kind of a pay me now or pay me later sort of thing, because if we don't do this and you take, let's say, I'm just using it as an example, let's say you take a single mom that has two kids that has a job and she's been supporting herself and she has a medical emergency for one of her children. She has to take 10, 12 weeks off to deal with that, loses her job, loses her house. She will be on public assistance quite possibly until the kids are raised at that point. So this is, you know, it's not that his point isn't valid, but this is kind of, this goes back to that net positive for the taxpayers.
We only have a few minutes left, and I wish we had more time because there's a phone call here from Diane in Thomasville, and I'm going to read what Diane is saying. Just don't have time to get to the phone call. 14-year employee in a hospital and then went on FMLA. That's the program that we have in place now, but it's unpaid. For breast cancer treatment, after a short time, she received a notice that she had been terminated. Wants legislation that would address that type of protection. This sounds like, or that problem, this sounds like what you are trying to address.
Absolutely. You know, we don't want anybody, because they have a health emergency for themselves or their family, to lose their jobs. People want to be productive workers. They want to be contributing members to their community and to their employer. And this is just an opportunity to allow them to do that, to allow someone to go out on leave, heal, and then come back and do the work that they love, that they've been doing for 14 years.
So 80% support in the public. We've heard that things don't always move fast in the legislature. So what's the future of this legislation? I mean, what have you heard from your caucus leaders?
Yeah. Well, Senator Collette and I have to be the salesman for this bill. It will take a lot of work. I don't imagine it's going to just breeze right through. But I will say that, you know, when you show poll numbers of 80%, that should help at least. I mean, let's face it, Scott, if everything we voted on had 80% support, we'd be pretty popular politicians.
As I said, I don't think there are a lot of other pieces of legislation or at least proposals that get more than 80%. I want to thank our three guests for being with us today. Republican Senator Dan Laughlin of Erie County, Democratic Senator Maria Collette of Bucks County, Karen Showalter of MomsRising.org. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks for
having
us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott.
I'm
going to switch gears now and hear about something new here at WITF. Last year, WITF debuted PA Post, a digital-first, citizen-focused news organization. The mission of PA Post is to connect Pennsylvanians to their state and each other with accountability and deep-dive reporting that is multimedia, digital-first, audience-focused, and distributed statewide. Beginning this July, PA Post will have a new executive editor. He is Russ Walker, and we'd like to introduce him to you today. Russ Walker, welcome to Smart Talk.
Thank you very much, Scott.
How do you view PA Post's role in Pennsylvania?
Well, the mission statement says it all, right? It's about doing accountability journalism about the many layers of government in this state. and also trying to bring the stories from the different reaches of the state, the different corners, into Harrisburg, where the policymakers are, and hopefully that those voices of the people around the state will get heard here. And we're not just going to tell their stories, but we're going to try to dig behind them and explain why certain things happened and how government could be able to help fix or maybe get out of the way and let the local folks fix it themselves.
How do you describe accountability journalism?
I think it means a lot of different things. One, it means looking behind the scenes of what is already out there in public to ask the question, why did so-and-so lawmaker get behind this legislation in Harrisburg? Why did this industry suddenly start being very active in local politics in one county, perhaps, or in Harrisburg itself? And trying to figure out those questions so that the public can have a greater insight into how the messy art of government is actually done, because it's not always the case that it's done with good intent. It's not always the case that it's done without some sort of ulterior motive, but sometimes it is, and we need to be able to tell those stories as well.
How do you view PA Post's role in holding government officials or even government accountable?
Great question, and I really think that it's at different levels. One, PA Post is going to be an organization built around partnering with local media, whether that media is for-profit or public media. So we want to be able to go into a newsroom, whether it's a radio newsroom or a TV or even a newspaper, and say, what are you working on? These are the things that we're doing. Is there a way that we can support each other? And that could take it could take a lot of different forms. It could be simply them reprinting material that we've done and vice versa. Or it could be where a reporter from their newsroom spends a week with us here in Harrisburg, sort of looking into a particular topic, or us going to that community and trying to tie in an experience in their community, like maybe the school system, into what's happening in other parts of the state. And if we can do those kinds of if we can tell those kinds of stories in lots of different places, serving the needs of that community and that newsroom, and not just our own, then I think we can create a whole new paradigm around how public media can support media, period, in every community.
Journalism is a lot different today than it was even 10 years ago, 20 years ago. At a time when the media is often criticized and sometimes not trusted, what can journalists do to show the public that they should be trusted, to earn that trust?
Right. Well, one thing that I really believe is that journalists can't hide from the public. We've got to go out and be in the community, and we've got to remind people that so much of what people think of as the media is actually just talking heads on one of the cable networks, right? And those aren't journalists. They're usually former politicians or other type of paid expert, and they're just talking at each other. It's sometimes good TV, but it's not journalism. And what we need to do is remind people that we are in this community. There are journalists living and working everywhere in Pennsylvania and everywhere in the country who care about the school board, who care about the county council, who care about the bond issue on the sewer system upgrade, and that we're here to be not necessarily just their representative, but to be the spotlight shiner, you know, that we're going to say, okay, they're going to do this bond issue for the sewer upgrade. What's that mean for you in your monthly bill? And we're going to try to tell those stories and try to make the public officials accountable for keeping their word when they say that that sewer upgrade is only going to cost them 10 cents extra a month.
I'm just curious, and I don't know whether I can you can answer this question right off the top of your head, but are there issues deserve the kind of more attention than what they're getting?
I think there's a whole level of local governance that is not getting the kind of attention that it needs. And that could be everything from a school board system to a how property taxes are calculated in a particular place. I think the media too often wants to go for splashy coverage of either a big investigation that unveils some sort of horrible, nefarious doings, or they are looking too much at horse race type of things, like this is interest X versus interest Y, and this is this big conflagration and conflict. Mm-hmm. And it's not always that cut and dry. It's not always a conflict. There usually are different interests at play in whatever issue, but they're not necessarily diabolically opposed, and we could do a better job of providing the nuance on those.
You have an extensive background with several very reputable news organizations like KING TV in Seattle, The Washington Post, and Politico. How will those experiences influence what you bring to PA Post?
You know, I think that they will. I took something away from every one of those places. I think when I was working with the Washington Post, it was a real emphasis on writing and editing and thinking clearly about how to present information in an online and digital world. At Politico, it was moving at the speed of light, and it was about looking at the sort of the underbelly of politics, which is often money. It's often just about money.
And I want to thank Russ Walker for being with us. His work at PA Post will start in just a few weeks, and look forward to having him on Smart Talk, I'm sure. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we talk about the United Way of Capital Region and some of the problems that they're addressing here in central Pennsylvania. Have yourself a good day.